This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to Who Are You Wearing, a podcast about clothes and why we wear them. I'm comedian Kira Pritchard-McLean and I love expressing myself through clothes. Right now I'm expressing my desire to wear a slipper sock all day long. It's that time of year, innit? I have a different guest each week and it's someone I've watched and admired from afar, and then I basically corner them and ask them about their life through clothing. So episode 3 of series 3 is with the walking charisma bomb and beauty journalist and broadcaster Atta Jewel. Atta, oh my gosh, such an interesting journey with her style, and the pink flash of joy that we see now is actually quite new to the world. Now, Atta was at home in London when we recorded this in January 2023, and as usual, I was in my cupboard in Wales. Oh, there's so much laughter and joy in this episode. I defy you not to grin your way through it. Although we talk about some heavy stuff, heads up, we talk about racism, colorism, as well as fat phobia and the male gaze and the genuine threat it can bring with it. But with Atta, joy is never very far away. You guys are going to love this episode. I know it already. So enjoy as you listen on your commute, your road trip, your lie-in, or just your couch up on the sofa. Kick back and listen to me ask Atta Jewel, who are you wearing?
There is photographic evidence of me at 2 or 3 with a power handbag and shoes and like being always, and it's always as if I've been caught, because it's like I've always obviously stolen it from my mother. So I don't ever remember a time where I'm always like in a handbag, I've got a hat on my head or some shoes or something. And I always, and my mum is very glamorous, like she should have been, I don't know, a model or a stylist for Italian Vogue. If she knew that was a job, that's what she would have done. So clothes and glamour and being fabulous was always in my world. And so I really understand and appreciated that connection between like thing, like a handbag or a shoe or something colourful or something yummy just making you feel amazing.
Wow, that's so interesting. Because I think there's a lot of us who have those pictures of us stood in a mum's heels and some wild pearls, yeah, and a hat and things, but they were one-offs. They weren't every single picture.
I've got albums. I've got albums of them.
So it sounds like you had a strong sense of style as a kid then. Do you remember like putting things together or wanting to, were you trying to emulate people or were you just doing your own thing?
I grew up in the 80s. I remember having a pair of red shoes, which my mum said I would refuse to take off, and I slept in them. There were these red, I don't know, there was these red kind of Cubany heel or something, like little pixie boots. And I just remember being in love with them and also trying to make clothes. I remember Gone with the Wind was one of my favourite movies ever at 6, and just getting coat hangers, trying to make clothes. So trying to make, wow, the big hoop thing. Honestly, I think I was trying to emulate power. I've always been very interested in power, and people who I thought were powerful or fabulous, I wanted to emulate that, which I think is really not usual.
No, it's really not for a kid to be like, fetch me the coat hangers, she's getting some status.
Yeah. making. I just remember wanting to get this big bouffant-y, swishy, Gone with the Wind type skirt. I just really want, and I just, and I put sheets and I put, and I made some kind of a, I don't know what I did, but I just wanted the swooshiness. It wasn't the clothes, I wanted the swooshy feeling.
Oh, so it was movement that interested you. And is that carried on today?
Yes, I mean, I love dancing. I do ballet, hippie hop dancing. I love movement. I love that feeling of freedom that you can get with colour and movement, and clothes can make you feel like that as well.
And is it important to you that, I know some people are like, they're all about texture when they're shopping. How a garment hangs and moves then, is that important to you now?
Oh, 100%. And also my mum was always like, try and buy natural materials, you know, 100% cotton. Things have to be real. Synthetic doesn't wear or wash very well. So I had that kind of foundation drummed into me. Which is really, so that's always in the back of my head. Like, natural fibres means a lot.
Yeah. Well, who dressed you then? Were you fully dressing yourself? I can fully see the accessories, but because your mum is so stylish, she got a big say in it. Was it other family members or, you know, girls on the street that you lived on?
So my mum, I mean, I do remember there was it's a very 80s thing to go shopping and do like mini me. So I remember going to shop. My mum would get an outfit and I'd have the mini outfit of it.
Yes!
Yeah, so I had that moment, like, you know, the mini version. Probably like a bit Kendall Jenner before Kendall Jenner was a thing with Stormy. Do you know what I mean? So I do remember all that. But I do think what I really appreciate about my mum is that she really wanted me to foster my own sense of style, and it was always like, what do you want, what do you think? And that is something really powerful that I'm trying to pass on to my kids. Like, basically clothes, makeup, all these things are one of the highest forms of expression. So I was given that freedom.
Were you ever made to wear anything that you hated then?
I would like to see someone try. I pay good money to see someone try to make me do something I didn't want to do.
Well, what was your relationship with school uniform? Did you like that?
You know what? Primary school, we had quite a cool uniform. My secondary school had no uniform, which was really very rare and bizarre. So it was a fashion show every day, which was challenging in some ways and liberating in other ways. But I remember having so much fun storytelling through my clothes at school. So I'd be like, today I'm a pirate meets a French philosopher. And I just throw these concepts together and try and like pull off looks. Yeah, so school was very liberating in that sense. There was no uniform. So you just start, every day was a party.
Wow. See, I think there's a part of me that I'd wear my school uniform and then I would always try and push the boundaries of what you're allowed. And when I got to sixth form, it was like a white or black shirt, something with a collar, like, you know, a jumper and then black trousers. And I would accessorize. Every day would be something different. So I would match my earrings, my jewellery, my belt, my bag, my shoes would all be. So I'd have like yellow this day and green this day. And that was my way of, and you weren't allowed any of those things, but I was always pushing it. But I found the kind of constriction of a uniform liberating because I could just change bits of it. Whereas I think I would have really struggled going, what am I going to wear today?
Financially, it was very challenging. Also financially, that's really, it was a struggle. But it also makes you really super creative. And like, you can just put things together. And like, I mean, now the school has a uniform. I don't know what they were thinking, but like, from the age of 11-ish to 18, I had no school uniform.
Wow. Can you remember there being an item of clothing or an outfit that you just, you thought, this is me, this is clicked, I never want to take this off?
I used to love watching The Sound of Music, and I had a Sound of Music dress, which I think now is just, it was just a dress with smocking on the front. And I used to play hooky from school. I mean, I was like seven, and I'd be like, I'm sick. And my mum would let me stay home. And I'd just put the Sound of Music on and I'd swirl and I'd twirl and I would just put my Sound of Music dress on. It was comfort. It was a bit extra. It was a bit this. It represented so much to me. So my sound of, my mum even still, do you remember your Sound of Music dress? It was called the Sound of Music dress.
I love the theatre that you're bringing to having a sick day. So funny.
I mean, I would literally go, And then I'd just sit and watch like film noir. I'd watch Marlene Dietrich. I'd watch like French New Wave movies. I was just, you know, that was such a happy place for me. I was watching really interesting movies, like age 7, 6, 7, 8. I'd watch MGM musicals. What is it? Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Very toxic now that I look back, kidnapping women because they fancy them. What the? Anyway, it was just colourful and jazz hands, and I loved it.
Yeah. I love that. And it's so funny as well to be like, I'm not well. I think what I need to restore me is to dress up like I'm being chased by Nazis. That's my idea of a good time.
I mean, I think, you know what it was? It was the singing, it was on the mountain. There was something so nurturing about how they looked after each other. It was just fun times. I don't know, there's something that really, I think nature, I really realize how much I love nature. And just like, I mean, honestly, I think I would just want to, if I could twirl around in some mountains, I'd love that. I think it was so many things that spoke to me, which I didn't even realize was important to me.
Did you have a rebellious phase when you were growing up? And would we have seen that in your clothing?
No, because I had a very traumatic, chaotic childhood. And there was no room for rebellion.
Wow.
I just had to crack on and get on with it. So I do think being rebellious is such a privilege. do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have time for that shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had to. So no, I wasn't rebellious at all. I was very sassy to my mum's, you know, absolutely fabulous eating. Like, you know what I mean? My mum would be like, Ate, you're so boring. You need to go out in the clubs. I'd be like, I'm 13. I'm doing my homework. Can you please leave me alone? Like, why are you wearing thongs? You're so boring with your big pants. Mum, I'm 14. I don't want to wear a thong. So, like, I didn't have... So it was the opposite. Do you know what I mean? I was very, very, very sensible.
Wow. Well, was that showing in your style then? Or was your style your place where you got to be a bit freer?
I think until... Okay, I've got the hugest of boobs in the world. So I think until my body exploded, there was a lot of freedom. And then as soon as I started attracting the male gaze, that changed a lot of things. Where, oh my God, my body can be dangerous. And I think out came the baggy tops. It was all so grunge. So that was like the 90s. Out came a lot of baggy things, which my mum, a complete glamour puss of the 70s and 80s, was horrified by. But it was very grungy. I probably went grunge for a lot of different reasons.
That scary thing that happens, because when you're a girl, you know, like a young girl and a teenager, you always want to be like treated properly and you fancy older boys. And then this thing happens where your body starts having a sexual conversation on your behalf. And it's terrifying. I remember being really scared a lot of the time and then, you know, being hyper aware. And I think that hyper awareness as well, especially with the narratives we were raised in. You know, yes. I remember being sexually harassed a lot and then being like, oh, well, I shouldn't have worn this, thinking it, as opposed to like, who was that creep who thought it was all right to say that or do that thing? It's so mad that it's such a tedious...
We're all brought up with that same narrative. And that, I mean, I can, like, I haven't got enough fingers the amount of times I had been catcalled or like groped in the streets or sexually assaulted by the time I was 14, like people touching me. I remember some guy trying to grab... Well, the only uniform we had was the sports kit. And so I looked very much like a little... I was 13 in like a school uniform jogging outfit and some guy tried to drag me in his car.
Oh my God.
And like literally, and I remember screaming and doing maneuvers. And I was like, that was actually really... It was traumatic, but in many ways, it's like, you know what? You can be in a school uniform and some perv is trying to get you. It's got nothing to do with whether you've got a low-cut top. That's nothing to do with that. And that's what stuck out of it for me. I was like, I'm in school uniform and you know I'm a child. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Which is why it's so frustrating that those narratives persist about, like, when, you know, in particular, women are attacked and they're like, well, what was she wearing? And it's like...
Never your fault. No. You know what I mean? I'm like, you could be naked with honey dripped all over your body, walking down the street. No one has the right to touch you.
Totally agree.
It's just like, we have to just have more conversations about this.
Absolutely. Although, I can't think of anything fucking worse than being that cold and covered in honey.
It was a graphic image, but I'm just, the point is people can back the fuck off is what I'm saying.
It's so funny that the most like glamorous sexy thing you could think of was honey. It was so great.
Ripping. Because you know what, I was thinking Beyonce when she's all golden and
yes.
Crystal.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
So the era you're growing up in, you've touched on some of them like grunge, but what were the trends? What were the fashions? And did you go in, were you doing things by trend, or were you doing your own thing and touching in and out of them, or just completely doing your own thing?
I mean, I was the person who was in reading Vogue and Harper's Bazaar and spending all my money on getting American magazines, which were imported. Remember, there was no internet, kids. And so I was reading all this stuff and, you know, I was very trend-based. I love the catwalk. I love the runway. And I'd always do a little nod to something. I remember when, like, and I just, now that I'm a mother and I have 11-year-old twin daughters, I now know the horror of, like, grabbing stuff and going, oh, my God, this is so cool. And my mum thinking, I wore that first time round. So, like, I remember sort of, like, trying to raid her cupboard going, oh, I guess that's, it was vintage before I knew what vintage was. But, like, silver, like, I remember doing this kind of silver glam rock look with platform heels. I remember doing all these kind of, like, nod to things and... Yeah, you know, playing. For me, fashion was playing and being, like, joyful and telling a story. That's what fashion always was for me.
Well, yeah. It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because, like, moving on to present day, I find your looks pure joy. It's just such a perfect vehicle for your personality. And it's so... It's always a riot of colour, loads of pink, you know, like a literal crown on your head. It's so joyous. But I wanted to know, when did that look start? When did we see, you know, the style that we would associate you with now, when did that start showing up?
I can tell you exactly when it was. March 2020. And it was lockdown. And it was Black Lives Matters. And I had spent 20 years in the beauty industry just trying to make myself as small as possible because I knew that I was never enough. My body didn't fit, my hair didn't fit, my dark skin didn't fit. You know, you can be, you know, I was freelance because I knew no one would ever make me a beauty director. Like, I would never be front of house. Work, you know, there's a phrase, show pony workhorse. You know what I mean? I was good at my job and I was very good at what I did, but I'd never be the show pony. And so I would always wear black or grey with a big power status handbag as protection. And it was a form of armour. And it wasn't fun. And it was just so I could be in rooms of power and try and fit in. And then when Black Lives Matters happened and the pandemic, people were just, it just gave me so much validation and it gave me so much permission to have the conversations which I'd have sort of behind closed doors or with other black creatives in the beauty industry. Oh God, that, you know, here we go. Look what they said. Oh, here we go. They don't want to use a model with darker skin because she's not luxurious or aspirational. All the things that I've been through, all the microaggressions and racism and nonsense, all those conversations were starting to happen in the world and publicly. And it gave me so much permission just to be myself and to realise that I am enough. I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to be anything but myself. And how delicious that was. And then, explosion.
Wow. Wow. I've got a million questions I want to ask you. So the look before the neutrals, the blacks, the big handbaggers armour. Is that you trying to assimilate to because you're already quite a visible presence, or is it are you trying to create almost invisibility by that, or conform, or is it a bit of everything?
A bit of everything. I remember being backstage at a fashion show. I was filming with my company, and a production company were filming for a big magazine. And this woman goes, "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" Which I got a lot. I'm like, "I'm with the sponsor. I'm with a magazine. Let's go." And I remember having this big Chanel handbag, and she goes, "Oh," and the Chanel handbag was always like, "Look, I've got a 3 grand bag. I belong in this room. Please move away." That's what it was. Wow. Like, back up. And then she looked at the handbag. She goes, "Your handbag's too big. It's obvious you don't know what you're doing and that you don't belong here." So I was like, oh, for God, even with the Chanel handbag, she still found a way to be toxic. And it was that thing of like, people always stepped to me and people always assumed I wasn't supposed to be there. You know, can I check your credentials? Do you really have an invite? I had that throughout my entire career. Like, you don't really belong here.
I'm really interested that, like, you clearly, from how you talk about it and your whole history, love fashion. How do you reconcile working in an industry that makes it so clear that it doesn't love you or women that look like you back? How are you existing in that?
By wanting to change it. You know, it's like, I don't know if it's a toxic relationship. I'll make him love me. But like, you know what I mean? It's not that. It's rather like, no, things are going to change. And I'm going to like make this better, not just for me, but for everybody and for my kids and for the next generation. I mean, for me, power, status, identity are things I think I'm really interested in. I studied history at university. I love colour. I love expression. I love all these things. But power, status, identity, if you come to the heart of it, is what I'm really into. And when you, for example, go to a red carpet event and there's nothing to dress my body. That is telling you this is not your place.
Yeah.
You don't need to have an outfit because this is not where you will. These are not things of power or rooms of power that you walk in. It is such a clear message. This is not for you. And so many things within the beauty industry, within fashion industry, scream not for you. And so I think my mission and my mission statement and who I have been and want to be and what I'm doing for the past 20 years is like, I don't think so. Not on my watch. Let's go. So, you know, just me being in a room was an act of activism. I'm launching my beauty brand, which has got 20 shades of really diverse colours for deeper skin tones, for like mixed heritage, Asian, Latinx, like dark, rich black skin tones. I've got pigment-packed blushes, which pop on everyone, not just kind of like insipid, like so many blushes and things just don't even show up on my skin. So for me, that is quite political, that everyone is invited to the party. So that, you know what, you can be hateful, you could be resentful, you can be upset about it, or you can change things. And I choose the latter.
I think that's astounding, but also it's just, I don't know. It seems that every brilliant black woman that I know, and I only know brilliant black women, it's just like this hidden tax on your time and your mental health.
Yes.
To not only just exist in these worlds, but also you're the unpaid job of changing it, of restructuring, of pushing for inclusion and diversity, and be like another tax on your time. And I don't know how you do it with such grace, because I'd have fucking burnt the place down and ruined myself. I'd burnt the place down and burnt myself out. And the fact that you are
I've done that. I gave myself type 2 diabetes. Like the sugar, the kind of like was my go-go juice, not sleeping, working 18 hours a day. I'll show you. That was like, I had rage. Did fuel a lot of my career of like, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be perfect because I'm going to show you. You know what I mean? And that can only get that go-go juice only gets you so far. And then you have to tap into grace, love, self-care. And that sustains you a lot more, which I think I've turned a corner. I'm in that phase of my let's change the world attitude. But yeah, it's exhausting and it's boring. But the side effect is you are harder and stronger and tougher because of the way people treat you. So it's a very weird double-edged sword.
And are you at the point now where you can see the fruits of your labour?
I feel very grateful for all the people who have come before me, who soaked up so much nonsense for me to have a chance. I feel very grateful that I've lived through these times where people can have the conversations, they understand. You know, when I was growing up, there wasn't even a word for microaggression. There wasn't even the word, we didn't even have the words. So there's a part of me that feels very grateful and lucky that I just happened to be, you know what, I was born in the late 70s rather than the 1870s. That's just luck. do you know what I mean? Like, that's just luck. But I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of everyone around me. I'm proud of my kids. And I just want things to be better. And I feel very, very grateful. That's the gratitude is what I feel, and feel relatively safe. Relatively.
Pop another one on there just to make the point, definitely.
Relatively, yes.
Everything you said is gorgeous and I think will really resonate with lots of people. Do you think of hair and makeup as part of the outfit?
Oh my God, yes, yes, yes. Yes. Oh my God, you know what? Honestly, the most important part, because I'm a beauty girl first. I'm beauty, then fashion. And I remember one of my first ever interviews with lovely Elizabeth, who was at InStyle. I remember she said, Chanel makeup, discuss. And I was like, oh, I'm home. That was like, beauty is my beating heart. So the whole makeup look, the whole kind of like, whether you have a little flick of the eye, a little this or a little that, can change your whole character. Am I whimsical? Am I playful? Am I a bad bitch today? Like, so many different things going on. I love it.
Do you ever start the outfit with a beauty thing you want to try, whether it's a colour or a style, or like do it, or like with your hair, are you ever like, oh, I'm going to start with this and build the outfit? Or do you look at the outfit and go, oh, this can pull it all together?
I mean, now I feel I have more of a look, or I have things which are go-to. I think I was, you know, not gonna lie, before children, I had time to sit around and do many, many whimsical looks. Those days are over. But so now it's just like, get it on. Like, but definitely it was always the look first. It was always the makeup look and build around that. Now I feel I have a go-to, like this, I'm obsessed with this eyeshadow at the moment.
It's gorgeous.
I'll build things around that. Or, you know, like a little, like a blue liner, or there'll be a little accent or something. But, no, I mean, for me, it's just colour and play. So delicious. And so democratic as well. It always fits. Makeup always fits.
How do you mean? I don't understand that.
Like, an outfit can, like, make you feel, like, could be squeezed into an outfit, but anyone can play with any makeup.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that. That, of course, yeah, we spend our lives, you know, like, rewarding ourselves to get into a certain pair of jeans. And yet, the main thing people are going to see as well is the face. And you're right. Because I've been, like, I'm plus size and I have genuinely been too fat for shoes and boots and things like that. And things that, like,
the calf.
Yeah. And I joke as well that fat girls, we always have great jewellery, handbags and shoes because you can't get too fat for those. Makeup is the real thing, which is why this is the thing I said to my partner. I was like, look at bigger girls, look how beautiful their eye makeup is, because they have learned how to, like, I know that some people are going to devalue me immediately because of my dimensions, but, like, look how fit I can make my eyes, because it's, you know, you can do so much with them.
I'm thinking Adele back in the day.
Thank you.
Boom.
But she's kept...
And now she's beautiful at every size, but that really stands out to me. Her face looked incredible.
Absolutely.
And I know what, and you and I both know what the mentality behind that was.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any trends or items of clothing that you've repeatedly gone, it's my time, and it's never happening? For me, I've got big old knockers, I've got quite broad shoulders for a short girl, I need to let go of halter necks. They're not happening. Let that ship sail, girl.
I remember being, I don't know if this is misogynistic or what it was, but I remember being 30 and I went to Topshop, rest in peace, and I just put on a rah-rah skirt and burst into tears, and I'm like, no. It's inappropriate in so many levels, in so many ways. Let it go. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that...
When you started with, this might be misogynistic, I was like, where's this going to go? And it ends up with you crying in a changing room at Topshop.
Yeah. Because I thought, I can't wear a rah-rah skirt because I'm 30, because I'm this, because I'm that. If you really want to wear a rah-rah skirt, wear the fucking rah-rah skirt. But at the time, I thought, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. But now, if it was, I don't know, a pink-tiered rah-rah skirt, I'd probably wear it. But like at the time.
You realise by just saying pink-tiered rah-rah skirt, you've now technically asked the universe for it. And
it's please send it to me. I'm literally manifesting. Please. I need an ombre. An ombre.
Oh, that would be gorgeous. Really gorgeous. Yeah. What's the item of clothing you've had for the longest time that you still love?
Ooh. Maybe a jacket. I do like a power coat. A jacket. Or a pair of shoes, or I mean, I have my wedding shoes, that just goes without saying. Just like I had for the dancing bit, I had these pink. And you know what? I look back at my wardrobe and I just see so many little ways I was trying to be me, like a little seed trying to sprout. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And not quite getting there. And I had these kind of like ballet pink satin Chloe shoes, which I wore under my wedding dress for the dancing bit. And I look at them in the cupboard and I just stroke them every now and again. And that got married 16 years ago. So those I love for so many different reasons. A power jacket, because that's forever. And I congratulate myself that I've done a good investment buy. Like my mum's like, cost per wear. Do you know what I mean? Like you can get a very expensive coat, but if you have it for like 20 years, it's like 25p every time you wear it. So that's how I was brought up.
I mean, that's such a classic mum phrase, and it's great, but is now how we're telling people to live anyway, because it's sustainable.
Yes. You know what? My mum really was ahead of the curve in terms of sustainability and all of that stuff. So I do appreciate that. So things which I love, 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 because they made me feel good. I have other things which I just literally make me vomit to look at them. It's because they were my status armour. And I just think I don't need to be that person anymore.
Wow, that's so interesting. So you would look at those, you know, like the Chanel bag or the all in black stuff and think, I'm not her.
No.
Wow.
No. I don't need. I read this really interesting thing saying when you don't have real freedom, you buy luxury status things because you think that gets you freedom.
Yeah.
And I feel I love beautiful things. I love well-crafted things. Don't get me wrong. I'm a little magpie. I like shiny, shiny, pretty things. But I don't need the protection that offered me anymore. And I don't want to be that Devil's Wear Prada editor bitch who I probably aspired to be when I was 22. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because also what you showed with the structure of white supremacy, and in particular how regressive fashion is like they don't care if you've got the bag. They're still going to find a way in which that bag is wrong.
You are wrong. And there's nothing you can do that will ever make you right in certain people's eyes. So don't waste time trying to please people who will never be... who will never like you, who will never approve of you. It is a waste of time. Just work on being more you and being more happy and joyful. That is the life lesson from this after-school special. It only took me 20 years to learn it. So if you can learn it quicker, anyone who's listening, please don't waste your time. And I tell my girls, you know, they've got lovely friends, but I'm like, don't fall into the cool girl thing because you will not even remember what these girls are called. In 20 years' time, you'll be like, what's her name? What was her last name? I'm like, do not give energy to anyone who is slightly mean to you because you won't even remember their name in 20 years' time. Just work on being more you. Hang out with the people who are geeky. Hang out with the weirdos because those are the more interesting people who will take over the world. Be the weirdo. I tell my children, be the weirdo, because you're not being weird. You're just being authentic. And people in this society read that as weird. So if you can afford to be a little authentic person, aka a weirdo, then you're already winning.
I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch. Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
If you could exist in any other era, just for the fashion, obviously politically and historically, not the safest person to pop in a time machine, but fashion.
Oh God, fashion-wise, it's so funny. Like I said, we were watching a movie and my daughters were like, one of my daughters was like, oh, I'd love to be that time. And the other was like, you'd be a slave. And they'd kill you and you'd be in, and I was like, oh, it's so sad, but they already know at 11 that we can't play that game in our house. if all historical nonsense to put to one side, Georgian.
Ugh.
I am a Georgian era person. I love the glamour, the fabulousness of it. I love the contradiction of all that luck. They were very into luxury and just more is more. You know, I grew up in the 80s, so I think of the Georgian era of the 80s, historical 80s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like more is more, glamour, power.
Gold, ruffles.
Gold, ruffles. High ceilings, entertainment, like that kind of, I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little extra. And I think I would fit in. I'd fit in with all that extraness and the outfits. Everything about that speaks to me. And also the oxymoron of it, the kind of contradiction that was all built on blood and slavery and all that. You know, it was all built on blood, but also all that glamour and just, it just is bizarre. It scrambles my mind and I'm attracted to the luxury and all that. And science was exploding. I don't know. There's something about that era that really draws me to it. But I recognise how wicked it was as well.
Mm. And you know what? I love Georgian architecture. And I love the feeling of being in the buildings. And I think I've figured out from listening to you what it is it's impossible not to find a lovely light. Because the light and height.
And because, you know, it was for entertaining. So if you look at a Georgian building, the top was always a bit squishy because that's where the servants was. Again, the hierarchy of it. Oh, my God. And then there was always the first floor, which was double height ceilings. And that was entertaining. That's entertainment space.
Love it.
Is that interesting?
Yeah. It's so great. What item of clothing do you pop on and you just instantly feel amazing in?
My crown. Is that weird to say?
No. Talk us through the crown.
It's a mantra. It's a call to action. My crowns are made by the incredible Emily at Rosings London. And I remember like a few years ago, you know, I reached out to her. We did a collaboration on a couple of designs. And then from then, it was just like, let's go, queen. And she does these amazing bespoke crowns for me. And it's just the opposite of everything that I thought would give me power and status. It's not an accessory. It's not a handbag. It's just saying to yourself, you are enough. You are the queen of your own life. And you have queen energy, and queen energy is a state of mind. I think everybody, genderless, whatever gender you are, has queen energy. And I just think anointing yourself, crowning yourself is such a state of mind. And you don't need anyone or anything to give yourself permission to do that. So that's what makes me, I'm like, it's just a little reminder, everyone put on, and you don't even need Emily's beautiful crowns. Just do it with your hands. Put a crown on yourself, metaphorically. Do you know what I mean?
So describe your favourite crown to us, please.
It changes because I'm fickle. It changes. But but my favourite at the moment is this neon pink crown with bejewelled diamantes and pearls in the front. But the neon pink is just, it's so unapologetic. I feel I had to dim my light, turn the volume down on who I was for so many years. And it's just like, there's no getting away. That's a fucking hot pink crown. And a little bit like me, here I am. Either going to like it or not, but that's really not my problem and none of my business.
And also it shows, like, it's one of those things that, because it's like a giant almost hairband how it sits. Mm. And it's that kind of thing that is, like, easy to wear, but really makes it look like you've made loads of effort as well. Do you know what I mean? Because
yes.
It's such a cherry on top.
It's so comfortable as well, because Emily has mixed kids and she knows... It sounds really, really basic, but because I've got 4C coily hair, so many hairbands pinch. Yes.
I didn't know that.
You see how you can have a microaggression even in a hairband? It's not big enough for my hair. So Emily, who is very conscious of that, it's so comfortable. It fits my coils and curls and it's just delicious. So it's one of the most comfortable things ever.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Love that. Can I ask what your relationship is like with shopping? Is it something you love? Are you only online? Do you want to be in touching it, seeing how the item moves? Or do you avoid it? You know, like, what's your journey with shopping?
Oh my God, trauma. Body shaming. Mm. A really disgusting experience for most of my life where you had like another arena for people to shame you and make you feel bad about yourself. So like, not only because of the colour of my skin, but my body shape. There's just so, you know, my husband, who's lovely, he said, Atta, you just don't follow any of their rules, do you? And I was like, no. He's like, you just don't follow any of the rules. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could have hated my body into size 8 and tried to fit that way. And I'm like, go fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Like, so like, I just don't follow. I just didn't do any of the rules, you know? And so I really did feel that shopping being like, a feeling of punishment. So it was very like in and out, let's go. And I'm very decisive. I'm not someone who, as a personality, I know what I like, I know what I want, and I'm very decisive, and I'm like, boom, 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 let's go. And so I do shop like that. I love shopping online because I don't have to deal with anybody, but I do like looking, or I do a lot of things. I think a lot of Black consumers, they go in like a stealth mission, have a look around, don't talk to me. look around and then go shop online.
Oh, interesting.
Makeup, fashion, because you're just so used to being patronized.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I'll go, let me go in, do a little stealth, look, let's go, and then I'll go in my own time, in my own space, and then buy stuff.
That is bleak as shit, but fascinating.
Truth. Your money, you know what they're saying, your money's not good enough.
Yeah.
Literally, your money's not good enough here. Off you go. And that's really painful. And that is the message that so many brands, so many designers give off by not catering to everybody, literally. Do you know what I mean? And it's really painful. Like, I've got huge boobs. I remember going on to Skims going, I think the slogan is everybody. I was like, fuck! And it's too small. And I was like, oh. And it's, you know, it's that thing of getting so excited and then the letdown, and you're like, oh. And it's that, you get your heart broken a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you about vintage and thrifting and things like that?
I'm going to be very controversial here because I grew up in my mum's Trini. She's from Caribbean. I have a little voice. Why are you going to go, like go dead people things. I do have that voice in my I do have my mom's Trini voice. Is like, and also I grew up in a very witchy house. Everyone was a little bit psychic, a little bit this, and I really do believe that clothes hold on to energy. Oh. So like, I don't want your juju on me. I don't want your bad energy on me. So I do have that. So I do respect vintage and I do respect the sustainability. Would I do vintage? Yeah, in my mum's closet. Like, like, or like someone I know who's good energy. But like, I know that sounds so weird, but no. Like, especially jewellery or something that's been so close to someone. I do believe in energy and like, I don't know. So like, I respect it. I get it. My mum's closet is a treasure trove and she has saved everything for my daughters because she's so tiny, teenier than me. So like, I'd have a belt from hers from the 80s or something. I go to my daughters. You don't know what's coming, girls. Buckle up. You've got some stuff coming your way. So I do respect it, but... Would I go to a vintage shop and get a lovely pair of shoes? No. Mm. There's something like, but I respect it. Is that weird?
No, I respect that position as well, because I know, do you know, it's quite a common thing. My friends who are Catholic have had that thing where they're like, I feel very strange about the energy.
I'm Catholic. You see, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. There you go.
Found it. We've all solved the mystery.
Yes, it is. There is something energetically, I think, unless I know the person.
I get it. Like, you want, or you need to get them with a certificate of authenticity that something came from like a happy person.
I was a good person. I didn't start any shit with anybody. Please enjoy this item with my love and blessings. Then I would wear it, yes.
You sort of had this rebirth as a result of the pandemic and Black Lives Matter at a time when the world is locked down. So how do you shop for that? How you're shopping for like a new person, it feels like. It must have been all online then that you're kind of rebuilding yourself.
All online and just like colourful things and just like... things I know because of the material, like I love a jersey because it's like it will give and it will fall in a nice way. So you know the little tricks and things that will look good on your body or might like structurally or shape wise. So I'm very like, I know a V-neck looks good on me. I know this and I know, you know, I know to have something which is a bit 3/4 on my arm. So I feel very confident in that way. I know what works for me and I find power in that. Do you know what I mean? And I do think it starts with loving yourself and being like, you know what? Let's turn the volume up on the things which I want to amplify, like makeup, contour, you know, contour, shading, highlight. And it's the same concept. So I think if you go into it with love, then you will always find something. Or you just return it and it's not your problem. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, that's so funny because you are the queen of starting off incredibly profound and then ending up with the most no shit common sense end to that. So funny.
I think that's who I am, really.
The style that we see you have now, which is full colour, wearing a crown, taking up space, absolutely bossing your job and not apologising in any way with your clothing or your demeanour. Is this it? You know, if we checked in with you in however many years' time, when you're 90 years old, is it like, are we still seeing this? Have we got the pink eyeshadow? Have we got a crown on? Or can you see your style evolving again?
I think it's going to go more bonkers. I think it's going to go bigger. I do have a vision for myself on some kind of a yacht or in a mountain retreat, decked out in lots and lots of pink silks, going, more pink, more pink. I feel people will come to me with palettes for a new collection for my makeup or a new, you know, I'd love to have my own loungewear or fashion label. I'd love to like make, you know what, be the solution, be the change. I would love to have a brand of bras. Everything, every problem that I've ever had, I want to be a solution. So I would love to have a brand for bras and loungewear and this and that. And I just have a vision of myself on a mountain in my mountain retreat, decked out in the biggest crown and lots of Georgian silks. And they'll go, what do you think? And I go, at 90, more pink, more pink. And that's whether it's a new bra collection, makeup, this or that, more pink. That is my vision for myself.
Barbara Cartland is what you're manifesting.
Oh, she's a style icon. How many words? So if it's writing a book, if it's a bra collection, makeup, I just want to be, just be more me, more pink. Let's go for it. Lots of grandkids running around mocking me. That's what I'd love.
Gorgeous. How joyous. Is there an item of clothing that you can always see yourself wearing?
I mean, the first thing that popped into my head was my wedding ring. Because I love my husband. We've been together since we're 19. And that's like, there's something really beautiful and spiritual and lovely about that. Like, you know, the world is about symbols. And that's a symbol of his love for me. Take it as you will. So I'll, you know, I'll always, apart from when I die, I'm like, don't be silly. Take it off, girls. Enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? Don't bury me with it. I'm sensible. Do you know what I mean? So apart, take it from my dead finger and like use it. Love it. So my wedding ring, what will I always wear? I'll always have a crown now. I will always have a crown. I will always have some kind of cashmere. Because I can't do wool. I'm allergic to wool. So I'll always have some kind of cashmere. I really love comfort, you know? And in the days of where I wasn't as healthy emotionally. It was through food and comfort eating. Mm-hmm. But I realise now comfort can be in a beautiful textured jumper, which is, just makes you feel squishy. It can be reading a good book, going for a walk, talking to a good friend. So for me, comfort is really important. And so things that make me feel comfortable and like I'm being hugged. And clothes can do that. Textures can do that. Mm-hmm. So that will always be in my life. Things that make me feel comforted and elevated.
It's so lovely. When you talk about this and when you talk about your crown, and it just seems like you're, when you're popping that crown on or putting this amazing pink on your body and giving yourself cashmere, it's like you're finally like writing that love letter to yourself that you know, working in an industry that has told you that you are not to be loved for so long, and it's just such a bold thing to pop that crown on every day and be like, still love myself. You tried, but I still love myself. It's so gorgeous.
I want to burst into tears because I think you're absolutely right. When you've been told your whole life that you're wrong, you're unlovable, you're not aspirational, you're not luxurious, you're not any of these things, it is for you to love yourself and tell the world what your place in it is. And I do think that clothes and makeup, or you know, any you know, anything that brings you joy, color, you know, whatever your self-expression is, it is the ultimate love letter. And it's not about having validation from anyone else, it's about the joy you bring to yourself. And I think that gives other people permission to be very authentic. And the more people really love themselves and authentic and are kind to themselves, the better the world is. Mm. So you're actually doing something quite political in being authentic to yourself, because I do think you change the energy of people around you.
Absolutely. And existing in a marginalised body, of which you intersect in many ways.
Oh my God, like so many ways, like so many ways. But you know what? I am so proud and I'm so happy to be me, and I'm so thankful that I am who I am, especially growing up thinking that my hair, my skin was a curse. To be one, like 180 from that is really, and then to like, my girls are mixed, you know, they're mixed heritage, and they have their own things that we'll be dealing with in terms of, like, one of my daughters has blue eyes, the other has brown eyes, and don't get me started on colorism and how my blue-eyed child was treated so much better when out and about. And, they've got their own things to deal with, which I will help them to navigate. But yeah, it's about just loving yourself and that you're okay. But it's not easy. It's not easy.
No, because your existence in so many spaces, if not all spaces, if we're being honest, is political. Yeah. And then to love yourself as well and take up space, that is radically political.
Yeah.
To the point where I think some people will see it as an attack just by you being there and existing, you know, unapologetically.
Yes. Which is why people are always, they can be quite aggressive, you know, like if you go on Twitter and be like, why is she wearing that shower cap on her head? All the comments. And I'm like, actually, it's a crown. And, thank you, Jeremy. You know, 54325 Exeter or whatever you're from. Yeah, so it's like, I really think it's unsettling for people. I can be very unsettling, but that's really, I feel very proud about that. I feel very proud.
I think sometimes if you unsettle people, it's also because you're unsettling something in them that they, sometimes it's because they've ingested the idea that they don't deserve space and love and being unapologetic, and you're a reminder of like living well, and that it's difficult for people.
Yeah. I think also it triggers their supremacy, and it triggers all the latent things that we don't discuss, but which are all there and invisible. And then they don't have the words for it, and they don't have the understanding, so they just come for the crown, or they come for, why is she talking pink? And da 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 da. And also, you know, I remember one of the first times I was on Good Morning Britain. I think it was with, God, this is how much I've blanked his name, Piers Morgan. Sorry. And I remember someone saying, oh, are you really going to wear that? You're going to be talking about politics. Da, da, da. And I'm like, who made the rules that I can't go on with Piers Morgan wearing a crown, wearing pink, and being able to talk about politics? Yeah. Like, well, what meeting was that? And that, you know, why is a grey suit or why is a grey this or why is anything the language of power? Who decided that?
Yeah.
So I can be whoever I want to be. I can be, I'm so many different things. And it's just really highlights people's stereotypes that I could be wearing neon pink and I can be talking about, I don't know, medieval sumptuary laws. One of my favourite things to talk about. Or you know what I mean? Like, I can, there's lots of different things. I love 18th century witchcraft and, because that's just a study in misogyny and how systematically women were just demeaned. Like, I can talk about, and then I love talking about Beyonce. And if you want to have a dance off and do the tiki tocks, there's so, I love country music. I love Midsummer Murders. There's so many, I think people love to put people in boxes. And they see pink and they see this and they see that and they try and put you in a box. So I, you know, it's very, I like the fact that it is challenging and you can't put me, you can't pin me down.
I literally love that they're trying to put you in a box and you're like, I couldn't possibly, it would dent my crown.
Yeah, literally.
Are there any trends that you're hoping you never see again, that they never come back?
You know what? I'm like, bring it on. Bring it on. Because I don't... Like, what is there to be frightened of? Even if it was like a shit show or just was not for you, I'll just be there waving and clapping in the back and cheering you on. I don't, like, there is space for everything and everyone. I don't have to be a part of it, but I could go, you do you. So no, I'm like, you know, I look forward to my children being teenagers and wearing some wild outfits and some, like, go for it. Go hard if that's what brings you joy.
Gorgeous. The final question, this could be seen as quite a sad one, but it's meant to be joyous. So what would you wear to be buried or cremated in? What's your final outfit?
I don't think that's sad. I just think it's part of life. And if you talk about it, people won't fuck it up. So that's good.
We already know the wedding ring is off. We already know that's
off. Wedding ring is off. Don't be silly, girls. wedding ring is off. Definitely a big old, I'll do like a comedy size crown, because when else are you going to just like filling up the whole, like, I'll do a comedy size crown just because it'd be funny. And then I would do some kind of a Vivian Westwood-esque gown.
Wow.
Ensemble. Open casket, so everyone can see the outfit.
Yeah, don't waste the outfit.
And I'd like, I don't know. Yes, I want full on pinks. I want something voluptuous, voluminous, just like lots of Duchess satin. I want queen energy and I want everyone to have a party. And I want lots of dancing. I want Beyonce, Britney. It's Britney, bitch. I want people dancing. I want it to be like a 3-day festival with me in the coffin. And at the end, everyone can bury me, burn it. I don't give a shit. Whatever gives you peace. Scatter me in the wind. It's not about me. It's like, that's for you. Whatever you need. But just have a party and live well. That's what I want.
Isn't she amazing? And probably the funniest answer to the question on vintage and thrifty clothing as well. Do you know what? I find this podcast, one of the many things I love about it, it just gifts me these conversations, like opening up new worlds to me, or galvanising views I had anyway. And one of the many chats, like on this episode especially, there's so many of those chats. But, you know, Anata was talking about just that peril that is thrust onto girls when their bodies change. It's just awful, isn't it, when your body starts having that conversation for you. Ugh, scary. I hope it changes. I really hope it does. And I'm hoping when you hear her talking about bringing up her girls and how she's bringing them up, obviously it's, we need to bring up kids of all gender to have respect for people, but I'm hoping as we have more and more brilliant parents in the world like Atom, things will change. She is so insightful when it comes to existing in a plus-size, dark-skinned body in an industry that absolutely worships whiteness and thinness, not to mention youth. The thing that really struck me is I'm just in awe that she's managed to navigate that world with joy. When she's, you know, been bombarded with microaggressions, insults, just like straight-up at racism. What a woman. And when she talks about wanting to change the industry, like that being her motivation, I am so glad that her inclusive makeup brand, Atajul Beauty, is absolutely thriving. She's being the change that she wants to see, and like people are here for it. And I think that's, I'm hoping that's how the world of fashion, clothing, beauty, you know, all things I really love,
but I've absolutely felt excluded by in the past, even with all my privilege. I hope it's moving towards a healthier, happier place. You can find pictures of Atta's outfits on our Instagram at whoyouwearingpod, and you can always email us at whoyouwearing@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. Now, I couldn't talk about a small indie business and not try and find one that does statement crowns, and boy, have I come through. Please, if you aren't already familiar with them, get to know Choo Choo Choo. So that's C-H-O-O-C-H-I-E-C-H-O-O. I nearly said ooh, because I'm tired. It's a female-run business that started in 2010. Now, the owner, designer Carly, is so passionate about making affordable statement headwear. She takes inspirations from the beautiful flowers in her garden and amazing natural materials, like amethysts and quartz on there, but also like spectacular daftness of like shells and unicorn horns. Oh my gosh. And these beautiful, massive, gorgeous pink silk ruffle headbands, which are the things that really, well, I was like, ah, I would love that. What I love is as well those silk statement headbands, these big beautiful ruffles. The leftovers are turned into these zero waste headbands, so you've got the different coloured silks from all of the other headbands, and they are stunning, like a absolute joyful riot, which is also how I would describe our gorgeous guest of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm back with a brand new episode next week. So prepare yourself for an interview. Oh God, it's really bad interviewing for me. I am talking too much. Please prepare for that. And it's because I'm so obsessed with a guest. I'm like, yeah, because everything they say sets my brain on fire. And also I admire them so much. I'm just like desperate to impress them and make them my lifelong friend, because I'm speaking to the superb Siobhan McSweeney. See you then, guys.
Wearing is produced by Joe Southard, the artwork is by Mary Phillips, and the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.